Greetings, everybody. In case you're hearing this, you cannot see that I'm actually wearing something that is considered African garb. And I had some more colorful to choose from, but I decided to go for the tame one-color outfit. We all have different stories of how we came to be in the body of God. We also see through God's word, the Bible, that we are all part of the same body. That one thing, the Bible, I believe, is the tie that binds us all together. My travels to Nigeria has given me clarity in one important thing that I hope that you and I, of course, can grasp. We all in the Church of God, in the Church of God are part of one body. We all in the Church of God are part of one body. Not different bodies, but one. Our first scripture will be Colossians 3. So let's go there. Colossians 3, and we will start in verse 12. I'm going to be reading to you from the New King James Version. Colossians 3, verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on the tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. Verse 14. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This, brethren, is what you feel when you attend with another congregation. Is it not? God's Holy Spirit moving through all of us, revealing that we are all brethren, tied to God through what we've learned in His Word, the Bible. Wherever you met for the Feast of Tabernacles, I would wager that you too felt that you were with family. Not an outsider, but part of the unit of God. United together, this feast gives us all the opportunity to meet with others in the family of God and to further understand that we are not alone, but unified by following the commandments and walking in the way of our eldest brother, Jesus Christ. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to start in verse 11. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Therefore, remember that you once, Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands, that at the time that you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Yes, brethren, you, him, and all of us started out the same. We had no hope and no life without Jesus Christ, our eldest brother. Continuing on in verse 13. Verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you, who were once afar off, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has now both made one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Now let's go ahead and jump down to verse 17. Verse 17. And he came and preached peace to you who are afar off and those who are near. For through him we both have access but one spirit to the Father. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. I say all of us, brothers and sisters, fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. in whom you are also being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. What a wonderful opportunity we have, brethren. We, with God's Holy Spirit, are bound to be the very children of God. We know that, and we are excited by that. Surely, we've all had great trials and tribulation in this life as we stand to be part of God's way. The world cannot understand why we keep God's commandments and follow His ways. Perhaps you've lost a job or a spouse or more. Still, through those sufferings, these teeny things, yes, it all seems insignificant after we become glorified with our God through His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Let's look at Romans 8. Romans 8 and verse 18. Romans 8, verse 18, and we're going to read 18 and 19. Verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Surely we need help. God tells us that He can help us with His Spirit. Let's go ahead and drop down in the same chapter to verse 26. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now He who searches the hearts knows that the mind of the Spirit is, because it makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, your Bible probably says He instead of it, but I went ahead and changed it to the more appropriate pronoun when it's referring to the Spirit. Verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, everyone in this room, for He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, He predestined those that He called, whom He called, He justified, and whom He justified, these He also glorified. Now, one more verse. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to start in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, and we're going to read all the way down to verse 27. Verse 12, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into the one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether Americans or Nigerians, whether slaves or free. All have been made to drink into the one Spirit. For in the fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? Verse 20. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need, but God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one about another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. So with that introduction, I'd like to give you the title of this message. We are one body. We are one body. Now I'm sure you're wondering about my trip to Nigeria. Whenever someone asks me of how it went, I tell them with sheer joy of my fantastic trip. However, I usually get a look of disbelief and then a knowing look followed by some fact of barbarism or backward system that they heard about on the news, or perhaps from someone that should know. I mean, really, how could they really know that unless they've been there? So I want to pose this question, and it's boggled my mind. How can someone know about something and have facts when they've never been there? My brothers told my mother all these horrible stories about what was going to happen to me in Nigeria, and of course, none of those happened. And I asked my mother, I said, when were they in Africa? Granted, they'd never been to Africa, they just heard stories, and they knew them as fact. However, I went there, and I can tell you almost all of them are false. Yes, I did say almost. With any place, there are going to be scary things and new things to consider. But let's be honest, anywhere on earth can have its own issues if you don't know anything about it. If you're unfamiliar with that area, there are going to be problems. That's why it's probably best to go with a friend. I went over there by myself, and I probably should have gone with somebody, but I learned a lot that way. So get comfortable, and let me tell you about my trip. How it all started. Paul Moody has been going to Nigeria with Mark Mickelson for a few years now, and he asked his brother Jim Moody if he'd like to go. Jim and I are pretty good friends, and he's always known that I've wanted to go to Africa. So he told his brother, I'll only go if Loopy can go. So Jim asked me if I wanted to go, and I nearly knocked him over. I said, yes, I want to go. However, I was over 300 pounds, and you guys have known me for a few years, so you knew how big I was. And I had heard that if you can't get a seatbelt around you without an extension, you'll be charged for two tickets. So I started my weight loss journey, and thank you, Lynn Leiby, for infecting me with the running gene. So now I'm running as well, which has helped tremendously. I actually lost, before I left, 95 pounds. I'm not going to say who said I was a loser because I didn't make it to 100. Oh, Lynn, why did you raise your hand? But I almost did. So what does it take to get to Nigeria? Well, of course, you're going to need a passport, visa, vaccines, a plane ticket with planned layovers, very important, adequate funds, and find out what kind of currencies are accepted in that area. Most places actually over there do not accept credit cards, except for some places. And the credit cards they do take, you need to find out in advance which ones they are. Not only that, you need to let your credit card company know that you're in Nigeria, because they're not going to believe you if you call from there. I already had my passport since we travel to Canada at least once a year, and I used to go to Mexico at least once or twice a year, but since my grandparents passed, I hadn't been over there. My suggested vaccines were yellow fever, in which you cannot enter the country without a yellow card, proving that you got that vaccine. The vaccine had to be done through a state-approved doctor that can be very hard to schedule. I was blessed, however, that when I called, he was going to be in the office the very next day, so I was able to schedule the visit with him. I was also supposed to get hepatitis A, B, tetanus, and polio, as well as malaria. I got all of those vaccines at the local pharmacy. I usually go to CVS Pharmacy. I had to get a prescription for the malaria pills, which started 10 days prior to the trip, during the trip, which reminds me I have to take my malaria pill, and I'm supposed to take at least 2 weeks after. So during this message, I will be taking my malaria pill, so you all will be witness that I took it. Some might be thinking to themselves, I'm not taking any vaccines or pills. I'm going to take my chances. Well, I see it this way. All the vaccines are suggested for good reason, not for fun. Do I take the vaccines and the doxycycline, which I just took, and improve my chances a thousandfold of not getting a serious disease or ill? Or do I take my chances and say, I'll put it in God's hands? Well, I know several men who actually gone to Africa with that very mentality, and most of them got sick. Some of them have malaria, some of them have yellow fever, and they're going to have to fight that for the rest of their life. I didn't want to take that chance, so I went ahead and took the medication. So I understand that some people believe that they shouldn't be taking vaccines or whatever. I think that I would prefer not to jump on the bear trap and wonder why it went off. When traveling to a place like Nigeria, you're required to have a visa as well as a passport. You'll need to apply well in advance to be able to make sure that you can make the flight. I suggest at least 6 weeks before your departure. It can take one whole week to 6 weeks or longer. Remember to make sure that you fill out the paperwork correctly, because if you don't, they send you all the information that you sent, minus the check that you had to provide for them to give you the visa. And then you'll have to do it over. I was blessed that I got it in less than a week. In fact, when they had it, because I had to put a number on it so I could make sure, because my passport, they require your passport to be sent with it. So it was insured and everything. So as soon as they got it, they stamped it and sent me my visa within the day. So I actually got it in 4 days, fastest anyone I know of has gotten a visa. Or perhaps they were trying to get rid of me. But anyway, please don't take forever to get these things done, or you're not going to make the trip. The same thing goes with your passport. If you know you're going to be going someplace next year for the feast or any place, it's probably a good idea to go ahead and get that done as soon as possible. So, what's Nigeria like? I was told prior to flying to Nigeria that in the past, the airport was full of people who tried to take advantage of you or any incoming passenger and require them to pay fees and protections to ensure their safety and the safety of their belongings. Many would say that they were agents of the government, but they actually turned out to be crooks and creeps. When I arrived in Lagos, though, there were multiple signs everywhere that said, video all people claiming to be agents and turn them in. That would have worked fine for me if I had any kind of internet or cell phone. I did not have any of that. So basically, I had to go with the flow, if you will. Sure enough, at the baggage claim, there were such cretins that were there to help this newcomer and welcome to Nigeria. I had a couple of young men explain to me that they were there on behest of the government, and they were going to ensure my safety to ease my mind. So they started asking me a bunch of questions, and I didn't give them any real answers. In fact, I feigned deafness a few times and made them repeat it over and over again. This was for two reasons. One, to irritate them so they would go away. And the other reason is, the more that I asked the question and the more they had to repeat it, the chance of a security guard or a military person would go by and hear what was going on. And they weren't actually privy to what I was doing, but I was irritating them. They wouldn't let me get out of the airport until they were sure it was safe, which I know for a fact it was safe, except for these men. And it wasn't just one man, it was about four or five, and I'm a decent-sized individual. These guys were all well over 6 foot tall and all very big and imposing men. And every one of them had the voice of James Earl Jones. However, they finally convinced me to give my paper with the information to reach Oladare Akimbo, or Dari as we called him. And Dari was smart enough not to leave his phone number on the paper, because with that phone number, they could have called and pretended that he had given me new information, and then they could have took me anywhere they wanted to. Dari was wise to their game, so he made sure that that wasn't on there. So finally, after asking me the same question over and over again and me saying, what, they decided it was okay to let me out of the airport. Within two steps of getting out of the airport, there was Dari and Paul Moody standing there waiting, like, what took you so long? I said, I was being detained. So they ran over there, grabbed my bags, only had two, and we continued to walk. Well, the guy that really worked me over trying to get money had gotten upset with me constantly saying, I'm sorry, I have no funds. All the money I have is with Dari. And he was pretty boggled by that idea that anyone would travel that far with no money. But I was pretty convincing, and he stopped asking me for money. He went up to Dari and said, I helped this young man come out of the airport. Would you please give me 100 to 200 naira? Now, naira is the money that they use. Naira, it is one U.S. dollar to 360 naira. So to ask for 200 naira really was like a quarter or two quarters. So it wasn't that much that he was asking for. However, Dari was not having any of it and told him, go away. So thank you, Dari, for thinking ahead and knowing what was going on. And from now on, I know that I could just walk out of the airport. However, I had no idea. I had no way to know how to get out. So again, if you're going to plan a trip like this, don't go by yourself. Always have a plan. This whole situation reminds me, and you don't have to turn there, I'll read it for you, of 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 9. 1 Peter 5, verses 6 through 9. Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, or people at the airport, walk around like a roaring lion, seeking whom they may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. After a very eventful drive through the immense traffic in Lagos, Dallas has nothing on Lagos. In fact, let me tell you really quickly about the driving in Lagos. Think of a school of fish and how they all come around. They're not all going in line. They all come around and they don't actually touch, but they get very close. And the Nigerians actually beep their horn for every single thing that they can think of. In fact, it's nonstop beeping. And I joke with them that if they did that in Texas, there'd be gunfire for sure. But nobody hit anybody. I was so impressed. And there are no lanes. Now, it looks like two lanes, but there's actually four lanes of vehicles going. And they're all mixing in and out. And there's also a lot of huge holes in the ground. Their roads need some work. And the government is working on them, but not as quickly as we need. When we got to Dari's house, I was greeted by his youngest daughter, Bobby. And she got a nickname throughout the feast as Bobby the Tornado. She's about 9 years old, and she is full of energy and wants to be in everything and anything. She was zipping around, going here and there, jumping up on my shoulder. What's going on? How are you doing? And she was adorable and could wear on you pretty quickly. But Bobby the Tornado was definitely a welcome sight when I first got there, because I knew for a fact I wasn't a visitor. I was family. The foods. I'm sure a few of you are wondering what the food was like. Coming from a Hispanic background, I will say that it is very similar in appearance and in taste. The spiciness is very comparable. They don't use jalapeno, they use habanero. And a few other ones that are way hotter than that. They had something very similar to chicken and rice for supper that evening, and it was very good. But there was a little sweat or two beads coming on my forehead. The good thing about it is if you had any kind of virus whatsoever, it was going to burn it up. The next morning, we wake up, and that day we were going to travel to the feast. The next morning, they surprised me with what they called a treat. And this is something I've never had before, And I will tell you this right now. Don't knock it till you try it. Scrambled eggs and sardines. It was so good. I could not believe it because when she told me what it was, and I could see the joy in her face about what this treat was that she was making for someone that is visiting her home, she says, oh, you'll love it. It's so good. And I said, I've never had that before. So, of course, being in Nigeria, I become a Nigerian, and I eat it, and it was excellent. It had a little bit of onion in there as well, and it had some red pepper for coloring. It was so good. We actually had it several times. Plantain. Now, plantain is not a banana. It's very similar to banana. However, it's got a more of a starchy, potato-y taste. And they actually use that in almost every meal. I actually grew very fond of it and tried to make some at home when I got home for my son. And it wasn't the same. But he liked it. It wasn't the same, but he liked it. And it was good. They also eat something called jollof rice, which is now my favorite rice in the world. Spanish rice used to be my first. Now jollof rice is. And it's very similar. Like I said, a lot of their food was very similar to Mexican food. So it wasn't a stretch for me at all to like it. And they were very pleased to see how happy I was to eat it. They were worried that I wouldn't like any of their food. And I said, why? And they said, well, it's brand new to you. I said, well, like I said, I'm Nigerian. And I told them that the whole feast, that I was Nigerian. They eat a lot of yam, sweet potato. Oh, and their yams are not what you like that yam over there. That is not the same thing. It is a huge brute about this long. And I was surprised how big it was. But what they do is they grate it, they boil it, and then they use this thing, some sort of pounding thing that is about this tall. And this takes two people, and they pound on it for nearly an hour. The women there are so incredibly strong because they do this. So don't ever arm wrestle a Nigerian woman. One of the special treats at the feast was a meal called spicy goat soup. And yes, it had spices, it had goat, and there was a soup to it. And we had a local farm that we went to get the goats. So we had them in there in the morning. And of course, being an American, we're like, oh, the goats are so cute. And they said, we're eating those tonight. I'm like, oh. In fact, they asked me to help them to prepare them. And I said, no, thank you. I have something else to do. However, the entire church group actually came together to prepare this. The men killed the goats. The women pieced up the animals. And then they have all their spices. And they actually massaged it into the meat. And this is a long process. It actually took several hours. And they actually... Sorry, I'm saying actually over and over again. There were five goats, and we had so much meat that we were able to have it for 2 days. And it was a huge treat and a huge success. The water, very important. The water, however, was something to be concerned with. Not even the Nigerians drink it. It was either sold in bags or bottled. I've been to Mexico a few times, and it's the exact same thing there, so it was no big deal and no stretch for me to understand that we had to drink bottled water, which also boggled their mind because they thought that I was going to come over there and, ooh, you know. But it was easy for me to be able to accept everything because it's very similar to Mexico, actually, quite a bit. The church purchased a lot of water for everyone. There were over 115 people there at the feast site. So there was plenty of water, and we also had two meals a day provided by the church. Now, some people might be thinking, well, what about the beer? Well, let me tell you, there's a lot of kinds of beer, but I tried two kinds. A local beer, which was called Star, reminds me a lot of Miller Lite. In fact, they were offended by me calling it Miller Lite. They're like, this is Nigerian, this is not Mexican. But I said, it's really good. So I had a couple of those, and I had Guinness. Now, Guinness is a beer in the States that I have never liked. It's always been too bitter, too dark. But there's something that they do over there that it was really good. And one more malted beverage was not alcoholic. They called it Malta. And the brand that I had drank was called Maltina. And basically, it was a malted beverage brewed from barley hops. It was very similar to beer, but it was corn and caramel color. and it was considered soda or pop or Coca-Cola or whatever you want to call it. But they had that, and it was really good. I enjoyed that. So now I'm going to go ahead and talk some issues of what's going on with Nigeria. Surely you've heard of Boko Haram by now and the destruction that they've been bringing throughout Nigeria. They're a Muslim sect that not only kill Christians, but they also kill Muslims. They're very brutal people. However, because of what they've done, the media only talks about that when they talk about Nigeria. And the world has stopped going to Nigeria as tourists. That has hurt the country tremendously financially. And because of that, the Nigerian government has actually put all their military on these guys. And they don't go and wipe them out for no reason, but if they do any kind of activity at all, they go and wipe out a huge area. I mean, with airstrikes and military raids and everything. They haven't eradicated them, but they're trying to let them know that this is not permissible behavior. And they pushed them back into the northern area where we were nowhere near. In fact, where we were was considered safe. When I was there, I watched a news program that actually showed pictures of slain Boko Haram, and the intent was so those considering to be part of them would see, I don't want to be part of that. It was pretty severe. I was very surprised at how severe the pictures were. I actually talked with a few members that lived very close to where Boko Haram was, and they said they knew that God was in control of their lives. Military had many bases near their area and their town and kept them out of harm's way. I was very impressed with the attitude they have, and they said, ultimately, you know, God is in control. And I had to marvel at that mentality and attitude, because it's true. I could easily walk outside and be hit by car, or even a friend of mine passed away this year at the feast, and all he did was take a couple steps and had a massive heart attack. You could die anywhere. So God is in control. We know that. Speaking of the military, there were many checkpoints along the way. We had to drive through on the way to our feast site. I was told that we also might encounter some bandits. These bandits pretend to be part of the local government, but are common criminals. The military all have machine guns strapped to their shoulders. But as we went by, they leaned over and hollered and waved at me, "Welcome to Nigeria," with a huge smile. Because tourism is so important to them that if they could see some tourists coming through, they think there's a chance that maybe somebody might go out and tell the world that Nigeria is not as horrible as they've seen on the news. But back to those bandits. Yes, we did encounter one group just outside the town just before we got to the feast site. These men actually had a long pole with nails sticking all out of it and threw it in the road and told us that if we did not pull over, show them our papers, and pay some sort of tariff, that they would harm us in some naughty way. However, Dari was wise to their ideas and ways and told them, well, if that's the case, then maybe we can go to the station and talk to your superiors. And they quickly said, oh, no, we can't leave our post, because if we do, we'll get in trouble. And he says, well, I'm not giving you anything until I talk to superiors. And then there was a lot of threats and stuff going around. And I knew what was going on, but I knew, as I had told you before, God is in control. And I also knew that Dari knew what he was doing. So I pretended to be bored by the entire thing. And these hooligans ran up to the window, and they're trying to scare me. And I just looked at them and rolled my eyes and then looked back at Dari. And they could see that they were getting nowhere. So they just gave up and walked off. And Dari thought that was hilarious. He goes, you weren't afraid at all? And I said, what's the point? I am not giving them any power. I'm not about to give them any power. So we went on about our merry way and made it to the feast site. I didn't sleep at all during the whole trip because I wanted to see everything. The whole area is so lush and so green. There are papaya trees, cocoa trees that I've never seen before. To me, it seemed like paradise. And a few of the people that I had talked to while I was there actually were a little bit ashamed and saying, you know, we don't have anything to offer you. And I said, what are you talking about? You're in paradise. You know, look at those trees over there. Can anyone get fruit off of them? And they're like, yeah, anybody can. I said, that's paradise. You had orange trees, tangerines, bananas, plantains, cocoa. Well, you can't eat the cocoa off the tree. Well, you can, but it's nasty. I tried. papaya. Oh, my. It was paradise. And I would like for you to think about that. When you look around your surroundings and think, if I only lived somewhere else, wouldn't I be blessed then? So think about what you have here. You are blessed. We are a very blessed nation. We are very blessed people. And I think that that is something that I hope to let them see, that even though there are problems, there are issues with the government or your water or electricity, and I'll get into that later, you're actually being taken care of very well. God is taking care of you. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. And you don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. This is the NIV. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. When those guys were trying to scare me, I let it go. When we were in the airport, I let it go. I knew that there was absolutely nothing I can do other than try to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. Because granted, everyone has a machine gun over there, so I'm going to behave. Like I said, we shouldn't focus so much on our troubles. We need to see the blessings that we have. The Nigerians actually joked that we already live in the promised land. Why would we want anything more? There is some truth to that, brethren. We are thankful, or should we be more thankful, of God's blessing of being born here. So before you complain about something that's not going right, or something that you want, or something that you don't have, just think about that. Deuteronomy 7, verses 6 through 9. Deuteronomy 7, verses 6 through 9. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all peoples of the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love on you, nor choose you because you are more in number than any other people, for you are the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh the king of Egypt. Verse 9. Therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and mercy for thousands of generations for those who love him and keep his commandments. So if you think about this, it's not talking about those in North America as God's chosen people. Those in South America, China, India, Europe, Africa, every place on this earth, God has chosen from among those peoples to be part of one body, his chosen ones. Speaking of the chosen ones, the children of God, the people I met this feast in Nigeria are such beautiful people. Their biblical knowledge impressed me, not only by the adults, but the children. Parents take a very active role in speaking to them about God's way all the time. They hold fast to the teachings, and they take seriously Proverbs 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The people there, our family, embraced me and treated me like a brother. The children treated me like an uncle. God's love was evident when I spoke to excuse me. God's love was evident when I spoke to each and every one of them. I did my best to sit in different places amongst them when we ate, so I could learn and absorb as much as possible from every different group, from the young, the teenagers, the young adults, to the elderly. I also made a video, and I watched it a couple nights ago, and I instantly teared up because I missed them so much. Calling them a beautiful people doesn't give it justice. I truly grew and thrived among them. So let's go in our Bibles to Ephesians 4. And we're going to start in verse 1. Okay. Verse 1, Ephesians 4, verse 1. And according to my Bible, the heading says, walk in unity. Verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in the hope of your calling. For the Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. The theme of the feast in Nigeria was building your relationship with God. And the message helped us do just that. The messages were rich with good meat for all those that were in attendance. Several messages dealt with how to deal with one another. Let's try that again. Several messages dealt with how to deal with one another, but the one that struck me the closest to my heart was by Mr. Raphael Naduka. This was on October the 10th. He was the second split, and I had given the first split. His message was a heartfelt plea to the brethren to not only love one another, but to actually be their friend. This statement made me pause and think for it for a whole long time. In fact, I think about it still. He said, I plead with all of you not to just be friendly, but to be my friend. I plead with all of you not to just be friendly, but to be my friend. It was from his heart. He even had a tear in his eye when he said that. The title of his message was, Why Can't We Just All Get Along? And just like anywhere and everywhere, there are problems. Everyone has problems. As long as we're human, there's going to be an issue. So he asked us, and he pled earnestly a few points. And I'm going to just quickly go through those. He asked us to be friendly. Love your neighbor as yourself. Try and think the best of someone, not the worst. Yes, you can think too much of yourself. Learn to be generous. And friendships can be built by sharing fun as well as difficult adventures. His last point, which I thought was nice, there is no greater compliment than someone to consider you their friend. Mr. Raphael was a wonderful man. I enjoyed speaking with him, and his son was there as well. We chatted a little bit on Facebook this morning. They're 6 to 7 hours ahead of us, so it's difficult to figure out the timing. But surely there were some messages that resonated with you during the feast. There were many, many good messages. I heard a couple of them on my iPhone this week as I was walking. Since Paul Moody and I were the only folks from America, they actually asked us to sit on a lot of things, from the children's church lessons, singles activity, and other events. And then they asked us questions about particular things in the Bible, which I was not expecting. So, if you ever go to another area, be sure to be ready, because they're going to ask. But it was wonderful, and I prayed to God for inspiration. I hope that I answered well. We'll see. We are also blessed to have two children that they bless. One little child was named Oso. Actually, there was a much longer name, but we could not pronounce it. So Oso was as good as we could do. That was the second. No, that was the first child. The second child, we were not able to have blessed until a different time in the feast because his brother broke his arm during the feast. And the poor little guy broke it on a concrete step, both bones. But he's fine. They actually put a cast on him and everything went well. But yeah, it looks like my time is really going. So let me round up as fast as I can. This is my takeaway from this amazing experience, and I would like for you all to note these things. Everyone should think about either going to Nigeria for the feast or some other country that rarely get visitors. You cannot fathom how happy this makes them feel and makes them feel truly a part of the body. Some tend to feel left out or feel that they're less, as was stated in 1 Corinthians 12, the lesser parts of the body. So everyone should think about either going to Nigeria for the feast or some other country that rarely get visitors. My second point is we are all on the same path as long as we are following God's word. From what I found out, there is no difference between any of us. We all have our families, we all love our friends, and as long as we're close to God, we desire to be his children. We all yearn for the day in Revelation 24:4, where God will wipe out the tear from the eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain from the former things that passed away. We all yearn for that. I can't wait for that time to be there. And while I was there, I had actually heard about I heard about the killings in Las Vegas. That shocked me. I couldn't believe it. And then there was also an ambush in Africa where a few Nigerian and American soldiers were killed together, which actually helped me get a little closer to the Nigerians there because they saw us more as a brotherhood. So they appreciated America standing with Nigeria. My third point, yearn for a time where we're not divided by race, color, or language. Although the members there spoke the Queen's English, there were times when I could not understand them, or they couldn't understand me. They teased me at how easy it was to find me because of my skin color. And I teased them, "Hey, I'm black too, just a lighter shade than you are." And one of the guys giggled. He says, "Well, if you're black, you're clear black." They had a language that they spoke, in addition to English, called Pidgin or Yoruba. I don't know. It's not even close to English, so I just nodded and smiled while they talked it. My fourth and last point. When you travel to one of these faraway places, become as they are. Be like them. When in Rome, be a Roman. When in Nigeria, be a Nigerian. Do not request special foods or sit separate. Engross yourself in their ways and customs because they are your brothers. They are your sisters. They are part of your body. You cannot understand a people unless you live with them like them. I will cherish my time in Nigeria and pray that I get the opportunity to go back real soon. So now, I'm going to play a hymn. I recorded it while we were there, and the hymn is called "How Great Thou Art," sung by the congregation in the Feast of Nigeria. I want you all to hear their voices as they sing this hymn. Feel their hearts as they yearn for what we yearn to. The first verse was by the women, the second verse was the men, and so on. So you get the picture. There was a 3 or 4 minute introduction, so I went ahead and clipped that out. So the only part you're going to hear is the actual hymn by our Nigerian brethren, our Nigerian family. So till we can all come together as one, that one body in the kingdom of God, remember, we are one body.
Thank you. Thank you.